Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Well, my friends, you are welcome once again to the Living Word. I'm Pastor Mensah Otabo. We are continuing the teaching on marriage. We've titled Marriage 101. We are just looking at the fundamentals, the basics, and we have to get the fundamentals right. We have to get the basics right before we even think about the other bigger things that we have to put on the foundation. So I'm trying to lay the foundation right so that when we deal with the other issues, they will come within the context of the foundations we are laying. We've talked about sharing, we've talked about support, we have talked about honor. And in marriage, we have to understand agreement is very vital. Last week I made mention of it, and today we're going to go a little deeper as we talk about agreement is the principle that we have to allow to permeate our marriages. And I want you to open your heart to God's word, which will come to you right after this.
And now, today's message.
Today I'm going to focus on unity and agreement. And Jesus talked a lot about unity and agreement. He was not talking specifically about marriage, but he was laying down a general principle regarding unity. Matthew chapter 18. Verse 18 and 20. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it shall be done, or it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. There are two important words related to unity and agreement, and it is that those words are bind and loose. Whenever there is agreement, there is power to bind and there is also power to loose. To bind is to restrict or prevent from happening. To prevent something from occurring. So when the Bible talks about binding, it's talking about preventing. And to loose is to allow or permit. Whenever there is unity and agreement, God gives the power to bind and the power to loose. The power to prevent and the power to permit. Each one of us wants things that we want to prevent from happening in our lives. And there are things we want to allow or permit to happen in our lives. By our own personal power, we can allow and prevent some things. But in agreement, the Bible says whatever. There is greater release of what you can prevent and what you can permit when there is unity and agreement. And so for a husband and wife, you have awesome power to release a lot of good things into your life and to prevent a lot of bad things from happening in your life. You have awesome power. The greatest force on earth is not in the militaries of the world. The greatest force on earth is in the home. The greatest power on earth is in the home. It is in the place where two people can agree concerning things on earth. That is why it should not surprise you that the greatest battle of Satan is also at home. Because that is where the greatest power is being generated. Satan can be destroyed easily from the home. Because if the home is sound, and children are produced from a sound home, Satan will not have access to the next generation. He will lose the next generation. He will lose his control over people. So if Satan is going to fight your marriage, He's going to fight the unity and the agreement of husband and wife. Most of you are involved in this battle. You have no idea why it's so tough for your marriage to work. Sometimes you think the other person is too stubborn. Your husband is too wicked. Your wife is too stubborn. And that's why all these problems are happening. May I suggest to you, it's not just because somebody is stubborn or somebody is wicked. It's simply because there is an adversary of mankind. He's called devil, the devil, Satan, Lucifer. And his job is to break asunder your unity. And the moment your unity is broken, things are going to happen that you cannot prevent. And things are going to happen that you don't like, but they will happen. So husbands and wives must attain to unity and agreement. Amen? Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Can two walk together unless they are agreed? How many of you want to marry somebody you hate? Let's see by hand. Anybody here who says, I want to find a person I hate and I will marry him? How many of you want to marry somebody you disagree with and fight with all the time? How many of you really want to marry somebody you agree with and get on with? But do you know that much as we want to marry somebody we agree with and get on with, sometimes you marry and you don't seem to agree and get on with the person you're married to? It happens. It happens. Sometimes you can get the two best friends who marry and become best enemies. You can see two people who love each other so much. You never would think that these people will ever have problems. They marry and they start fighting almost all the time. Because Satan is going to fight your unity. He hates your unity. He hates your agreement. For everybody who is married, who is going through difficulty in your marriage, remember the first few days of your marriage, how you could agree on anything and how things used to happen so well and so fast for you. Then Satan came in. But you know, Satan does not just work in the air. He uses vessels. You remember when the legion of demons were cast out from the man who was possessed of that demon of legions? Do you remember the conversation the demons had with Jesus? They said, don't just let us go doing nothing. At least if we can't live in a human being, let's get some pigs to stay in. Because demons are always looking for a vessel to use. Without a vessel, a body, they can't function. They can't just float in the air and do things. They have to live in things. So sometimes, although you are a Christian, born again, spirit filled, you can allow Satan to use you. Is that not so? All of us. Little things which you shouldn't be angry about, you easily get provoked. Because Satan can provoke you and can cause you to be angry about things you had no business being angry about. And most of the time when you are angry, check where the anger is coming from. Is it normal? Is it from God? Or is Satan provoking you to destroy the unity of your family? Every husband and wife must be on the guard and make sure they don't get provoked to destroy the unity that God wants to build with them. Because in that unity, there is power to bind and there is power to lose. How do we get agreement and unity? Every unity and agreement is based on a common vision. Common vision. When there is common vision, all of you see things in one way, or you see the same thing. You may not see it in the same way, but you see the same thing. You look at a target and you all decide, this is what we want to do. This is how we want to raise our children. This is how we want to develop our family. We want to buy a house at this time. We want to buy land at this time. We want to buy a car. We want to buy land, a television. We want to buy this or we want to buy that. That is vision. Having focus on something. Whenever the vision is divided, you have something called division. It's still vision, but division. Division. Vision which has been divided into two. Dissect. Division. It's called division. Division comes when each one, instead of having a common vision, each one comes and says, this is how I see it. This is how my father taught me. This is how I see it. This is how my mother taught me. And you can't change me. And I'll do it my way, whether you like it or not. When that happens, you have division. The vision has been separated. And when that happens, nothing will work. So for there to be agreement, there has to be common vision. And not only must there be common vision, there has to be understanding of how to accomplish that vision. Two people who have been raised from two different homes have two different ways of solving their problem. When you were growing up, discipline in your home was different from discipline in your spouse's home. In some homes, when the children steal, and the father wants to discipline the children by whipping them, the mother will insult the father and say, leave them, leave them, leave them, leave them. Have you created a human being before? So the children are left. So they steal and get mommy's support or daddy's support. In other families, when the child steals, the parents won't discuss. Depending on who found the mistake, the father will pull a belt and whip the children before the mother even finds out what's going on. In other families, the two parents will sit down to discuss what has happened and determine how to discipline the child. Now, if you grew up from these environments and you married, you can understand that the very simple issue of how to punish your children can be a very thorny issue. What to do with money? What to buy first? What not to buy? Whether to travel or not to travel? Whether to invite everybody for Christmas or not for Christmas? Whether to go to Ujura or Ogbechocho? All these are different ways in which people are raised up. I'm not very traditional. I'm not very traditional, both by upbringing and by my own personal orientation. Traditional things really don't fascinate me, like going for festival and going to do this. And I mean, I just don't have time for most of those things. Fortunately, my wife is also like that. So we get on. But can you imagine if I married somebody who say every Ujura, or say Yekocha Ujura, Yekocha Ujura. So they go and cut the Ujura. Now can you imagine? Simple thing. So at a certain time in the month, you know there is going to be fight. Your wife wants to go and cut Ujura. You also say, stay. So there's going to be fight. Alright? Very simple things can bring fight. That's the vision. So when you have a common vision, you must have common understanding to solve or to achieve your vision. And that simply means the husbands and wives must learn to talk. A non-communicative relationship does not have much chance
for survival. If your marriage is going to work, there must be communication. They must talk. You must talk. For communication to function, three important things must be there. The number one is respect. Respect. Number two, compromise. Compromise. And number three, forgiveness. Until I respect your views, I will brush everything you say aside. Because you see, whatever is not important to you almost always seems like rubbish. Have you noticed that? When you go to an art gallery and you see somebody, some painting which looks like manya, everything. You put the colors and you look at, you can't see whether it's a goat or a human head or a tree, but they say it's art. But you look at it and it just looks like rubbish. You would have wished that somebody had painted a calabash. Then you say, this is a calabash. But somebody had painted, you know, all kinds of things. They may call it abstract painting. If you don't understand abstract painting, that painting will be rubbish to you. And when somebody says he's going to buy that for 10 million cedis, you would think something just went wrong upstairs. Is that not so? One of the greatest artists of the world is called Picasso, Pablo Picasso. And if you see any of Picasso's paintings, some of them are really, really, really fundamental. It just looks like a class 3 boy sat down and painted something. But they sell in the millions of dollars. The people who buy them because they understand something you don't understand. You will use Picasso painting to rap Kelowele. Somebody will buy it for $10 million. And that simply means that some things which appear important to one person may not appear important to the other person. And that's why you need respect. Respect does not mean I understand you. I'm not talking about understand, I'm talking about respect. Respect simply means I don't understand why you do what you do, but I think you are intelligent enough to make the right decisions. So I respect your view, although I don't see it. I don't understand it. If husbands and wives don't learn to respect one another, you would even think, especially when in Ghana, if you come from different tribes, you think your wife's tribes people, they are not intelligent. Oh yeah, people in marriage insult people with their tribe. Yeah, Fantini. When you don't respect a person, you devalue the person. You devalue whatever the person says. Your wife, and sometimes you can be in public, your wife will make a comment when everybody will be there and say, oh, shut up. You don't understand what they are saying. You don't understand this. You don't understand what is going on here. Shut up. No respect. And when you don't respect people, they fight you. When you respect people, they listen to you. Because whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If you sow respect, you're going to get respect back. If you are a disrespectful person naturally, and let me let you know that there are people who are disrespectful naturally. They don't respect. They don't respect everybody or anybody. They talk by heart to everybody and anybody. And they think they can play with everybody. So there are people who, as a result of their own personal temperament and the way they were raised, don't show much respect for anybody. If you are that kind of a person, you must know yourself. Because you see, if you don't know yourself, you can't solve your problem. Are you respectful? Do you respect? People who don't respect are proud and arrogant because they always think they are right. They think their way is right. They think the way they know it is right. And if you are like that, you cannot engage in conversation. You will marry, but anytime you start talking, there's going to be a fight.
Because you can't accommodate anybody's view. So, for there to be real communication, for us to be able to achieve our common vision, there must be respect. Secondly, there has to be compromise. Compromise simply means that you drop your extreme positions and you try to take a step closer to the other person. Try to get closer to what the other person is saying. Try to think along with the other person. Try to move from an entrenched position to the next position. That's compromise. You have to make some movements if there's going to be understanding. And number three, there has to be forgiveness. Every conversation and every communication comes with its own problems of misunderstanding. And in the midst of misunderstanding, there is hurt and there is pain. If I started talking to you, if I spoke to you about 10 minutes, I would definitely say something wrong to you. Since I started preaching, I've said things here that people didn't like in the last 15 or 20 minutes, isn't it? Be honest. There is something I said in the last 15 minutes. Why did Pastor say that? Well, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have. Yeah. Because once you start talking, you are going to say something that somebody didn't like. It's normal. If I was talking to you in 10 minutes, you would say something I don't like. You may be my best friend, but you say something I don't like. And some of the things I don't like may be personal. And that is why you need forgiveness. Forgiveness, this kind of forgiveness, you don't wait for the person to apologize. You forgive in process. You understand what I'm saying? While the person is talking, you're forgiving it. You don't wait. You let the person, do you remember what you just said? Do you remember? While the person is talking, you forgive. I forgive him. I forgive her. Okay, I forgive. He doesn't know what he's doing. Lord, I forgive him. Lord, I forgive her. So while the conversation is going on, the forgiveness is also working. If forgiveness doesn't work whilst you are talking, you will leave the main issue and the discussion. And then you say, I don't like the way you said it. Are you trying to say my father didn't bring me up well? And you too. Did your father bring you up well? Look at your brother. And my brother? You too, look at your uncle. That's your uncle. My uncle, you are talking about my uncle. Look at you yourself. The issue under discussion has been abandoned. That's why you must forgive. Whilst you are talking, you are forgiving. Whilst you are talking, you must forgive. Because if you don't forgive, you will lose the focus of your discussion. A lot of married people sit down to discuss a common vision. In 10 minutes time, they are fighting. And so that issue is abandoned. And when it's abandoned, what happens is over time, either the husband or wife will take it upon themselves to go and do it behind the other person. Because any time they start discussing the issue, they never finish. And when that happens, you're going to see a lot of secrecy creeping into the marriage. There has to be forgiveness. And let me just give you a piece of advice. If you are waiting for people to apologize before you forgive them, the world will not be sweet for you. The world will be a very sad place. But because I'm telling you, there are people who will hurt you and not even know they just hurt you. They just be talking and they're hitting you, and it's their normal way. You know, they're not doing anything extraordinary, it's just normal. By the time they finish, they've insulted you 10 times. And they're still moving on and smiling. You have to learn to forgive. If you want to bring them back to correct them, they may not even notice what they did. And whilst you're trying to correct them, they will become defensive. So, we need to achieve common vision. And every couple has some things you want to do. And you know, especially when it comes to finances.
finances. You see, husbands and wives who are struggling with finances, but they are never able to agree on anything. They decide to save. Somebody will blow the money. I want to pray with you, my friend. I want to pray that God will help you to be a doer of His word. I want to pray that God will encourage you and guide you in your marriage. And if you are there with your husband or your wife, you can hold hands together. And I want to pray for your marriage that God will make it work. Father, I pray for everyone listening to me and their marriages. Any marriage that is in discord, in disagreement, any marriage that has come under attack, I pray today in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit will bring healing, will bring renewal, will bring new life into that marriage. May there be life in your marriage from today. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, as I pray for you, you also have the responsibility of becoming a doer of God's word. And as you practice God's word, you will begin to reap the benefits of God's word. I'm Pastor Mesa Otterville. Shalom, peace, and life to you.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.